for all the many acts of kindness that you've shown on our behalf. Thank you, Ben, for the wonderful introduction. There'll be a small remuneration there for you. I saw Daniel and Missy. Missy, there you are. Missy is a graduate of Oklahoma Baptist. Do we have any other graduates here of OBC? I know we have some folks who come. All right. Yes, sir. Rich? Anybody else? Okay. Ira. Ira's been in my house many times. I thank God for Ira. Appreciate him. He's been a blessing. Appreciate Brother Maxwell. He's been down several times, and appreciate him. There's a whole bunch of folks I appreciate. And if I get started, we went to Belarus for the Oswortys back several years ago. Back when the Oswarty kids were this tall. Now they're eating soup off my head. I mean, they're tall enough to eat soup off my head. I didn't recognize them, Brother Oswarty. They have grown up. Thank God for the Oswortys. Praise the Lord. Pray for Ashley and Ben. They're going to Madagascar. You say, where is that at? I have no idea. I know it's halfway around the world. It's over by Africa. Captain Kidd, that used to be his island. He was a pirate. So I guess they're going to minister to the French pirates over there. But you pray for them. They're excited about that. We're excited about that. And again, I thank the Lord for your pastor. I feel very honored to be here tonight. I'm not saying this to make any points or anything like that. I've said this many times. I've said this before. Ashley and Ben knew one another, but Brother Angel is probably my favorite preacher that I've ever heard preach. Now, you folks are very fortunate, and I hope you know what you got, because he's one fine individual, and my wife and I and our family count it a real privilege and honor to be a part of their family. I know when all of our families got together around marriage time, the wedding, Brother Angel's dad came up, and then, of course, Ms. Angel's mom and dad, and my folks were up, and I mean it, they bonded. It's just like they'd known one another for years. But you know, that's what my wife and I had prayed for a long time. We got one daughter. And we prayed for a good man. And God answered our prayer. I thank God for that. Well, enough for that. Now we got to get down to the rat killing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, 13. Good to see Caleb and Emily. And when I see all these youngins, it brings back a lot of memories. And praise the Lord for God's work. Matthew chapter 5. Now, I'm going to read the first 13 verses, but I'm going to key on one verse. And so I want to read the first 12 to get an idea of what we're talking about, and then I'll read verse 13. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I want to preach a message for just a few moments tonight entitled, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the folks that were saved this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to preach in this place and the blessing it is to be here with your people. Now we ask you to bless what we say tonight. And Lord, fill us with your power, pour your grace and mercy out upon us. If there's someone lost tonight, I pray you would save them. If there's someone saved that's a guilty distance away from you, I pray that they would get things right tonight. We'll be careful to give you the thanks and praise, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, the Lord has given many names to those who trust Him. We're called believers. We're called brethren. We're called sheep. We're called children. We're called little ones. And we're called life. In this passage of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we're called salt. It's kind of unusual for a believer. I think at times we think of salt, we don't think of believers as salt. But Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. The Lord is reminding us that we have the opportunity and the responsibility to be an influence for God in this wicked world. One of the main points tonight I want you to get out of this message is the distinctiveness of salt and the distinctiveness of the Christian. We ought to be be distinctively different than the world around us. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And verse 18 it says, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. By nature and by purpose, the believer, like salt, is different. By nature, believers are new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 1 Peter 1:23. By purpose, believers are to change the very taste of the world around them. You know, it's interesting in this passage of Scripture that these verses should follow the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus gives some qualities that ought to be present in every citizen of the kingdom of God. For example, He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then those that are merciful, and those that are pure in heart, those that are peacemakers. These are qualities, these are characteristics that children of God ought to have. When we possess these characteristics, we will be a positive influence and make a difference in the world around us. In this message, I want to impress upon you tonight the fact of how Christians in character should be like salt. You know, I've preached this message several times at home, but until a few months ago, I preach it, and I don't know, some of you preachers, you preach a message and you get a good message up, but then you feel like you haven't covered everything in that passage of Scripture. And the Lord directed me to a book, a history book about salt. And the name of the book is The History of Salt in the World. The most interesting book I have ever read in my life. It's amazing. After I finished reading that book, I mean, I took the statement, you are the salt of the earth by faith, and if God says it, it's true. Whether we believe it or not, it's true. It's right. But then God opened my understanding about that when He allowed me to read this book. And folks, do you realize how important salt is in this world? Let me give you just a little bit of history. I'm not going to bore you with this, but this is fairly interesting. Salt is the only rock we eat. It has shaped civilizations from the very, very beginning. Salt was one of the most sought-after commodities, for without it, man and animal could not live. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have a certain amount of salt in your body. You have to have it. Salt has often been considered so valuable that it has served as currency, and it still is exchanged today as currency in some parts of the world. Because of its worth, salt has provoked and financed wars. I mean, countries have gone to war because of the rights of property or gaining an area that was salt mines. Now, matter of fact, you might not know this, but one of the reasons that the Revolutionary War started had to do about salt. The colonists was going to England for salt and buying salt from the Queen. And then they found a blue light special down in the Caribbeans. They could get it cheaper. They started buying it in the Caribbeans. The Queen got mad and sent over a bunch of troops. They said, well, you know, these colonists, they're supposed to be making us money, not causing us problems. And so that's one of the reasons that the Revolutionary War started. The salt had played a great fact, was a great factor in the Civil War. I could go on and on and on and on, but salt, because of salt taxes, empires have been established, and salt has been central to the old age, to the things, let me turn over here and read my notes, about the rights of governments to tax and control economies. Salt's ability to preserve and sustain life has made it a metaphorical symbol in religion. Salt has shaped the history of foods. Now, I like to talk about this subject. I can preach on this subject real good. But salt is important. Salt's a chemical. Made out of sodium, which will suddenly burst into flame, but also chlorine, which is deadly poison. But yet, sodium chloride, God gives us salt, and we have to have salt. Baby formula has three salts in it, magnesium chloride, potassium chloride, and sodium chloride. Why? It's important to babies. A long time ago, years ago, when babies were born, the first thing they did, they took salt and rubbed the baby down with salt. And they may still do that today. I don't know, in some parts of the country. But we couldn't live without salt. Now, do you realize tonight, most of you would have the amount of salt in you that would fill 2 or 3 salt shakers. You know, your average size salt shaker. Now me, it'd probably be 4. But somebody else might be 4. But it's easy to obtain. The Romans used it for money. That's the word. That's where the word salary comes from. Salt. Salute. The Romans used to put salt on lettuce because their salads were bitter. They put salt on it. That's where the word salad comes from. Now, I'm not much of a salad eater. I'm a meat man myself. But I do it just for my wife's sake. And she gets after me and says, you don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. And I could go on and on, and I won't give you all the things that I have tonight, but salt is very important in this world. It's important. And God is showing us, is reminding us, Jesus is saying, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, folks, I've heard Dr. Vineyard say this many times. If ever there was a time in the history of our country that we need to stand up and be counted for, it's today. If God calls us salt, then we need to be that salt that God wants us to be. I want to give you some characteristics of salt tonight. Every child of God ought to have these characteristics. First of all, salt, I believe Jesus called us salt because of our preserving ability. Our preserving ability. Do you realize that salt retards rot and decay? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God wants, I believe, today, the only reason that our country is standing is because the salty Christians that are in our country. I really believe that. Salt is important. It has a preserving ability. You know, if you study the story about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 32, Sodom and Gomorrah could have been spared had there been 10 righteous salty Christians in that city had been spared, but they couldn't find him. Matter of fact, in Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Say, why did that happen? I believe God wanted to give us a pungent reminder of what happens when we disobey God and not be the testimony that we ought to be in this world. Number two, I believe God, the Lord, calls us salt because of our penetrating ability. You know, salt penetrates and infiltrates whatever it touches. It's an aggressive substance. And you know, God's people ought to be that way. I mean, man, everywhere you go, everybody ought to know about Jesus. Everywhere you go, people ought to see your testimony and want to have what you have. The early church in Acts was aggressive for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more they persecuted them, the more they won souls, and the more they scattered out, and the more they built churches. Why? They were salty Christians. Acts chapter 8 tells us that. Our churches today ought to be salty, ought to be aggressive. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." Notice what it says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's a positive, aggressive statement. And there's nothing wrong with a church taking a town for Jesus Christ. That's biblical because of our preserving ability. And then number three, I believe we're called salt. The Lord Jesus called us salt, not only because of our penetrating ability and our preserving ability, but our purifying ability. Salt has a cleansing ability. What does it do? It kills bacteria. Elisha cleansed the waters at Jericho with salt in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. I've said this earlier, but in ancient times, salt was rubbed on babies because it was it had a purifying effect. Also, it was rubbed in wounds. Now, I don't know if you've ever had salt rubbed in wounds. It's not a real good feeling. Several years ago, when I worked on the farm with my dad, I grew up on the farm in Arkansas. I was born in Oklahoma, in Osage County, Pawhuska, Oklahoma, and we moved to Arkansas in 1957. I was 7 years old. My dad wanted a farm and wanted to have his own farm and wanted to raise cattle. And so the Lord provided us with a farm. And, of course, I thank God. God was in that because my mother and dad got saved. When they moved to Arkansas, a couple invited them to church, and they got saved when I was 9. All of my family have trusted Christ as their Savior, and all my nieces and nephews so far have, and I thank the Lord for that. But we work cattle. I grew up working. I grew up riding horses. I love to ride horses. I haven't ridden one in a long time, but used to ride horses, and we used to work cattle. And we had cattle working equipment, corrals, portable corrals that we'd move around. Then we had a chute, a cattle working chute that you make an alley, what they call an alley. It's a crowding pen, and you run these cattle in it, and then you run them in this chute, and you catch their head, and you squeeze them up. They can't do anything. We had some cattle that had pink eye, and pink eye with white face cattle is kind of in certain parts of the country. It's not a deadly disease, but it's a nuisance. It really is. And so my dad, we had an old cow in there. My dad said, "Go to the barn and get a handful of salt." And I said, "Well, what are we going to do with that?" He said, "Do as I told you to do, and I'll show you when you get back." So I did. He said, "Okay." He said, "I'm going to hold this old cow's eye open, and I want you to rub that handful of salt in it." So I said, "Well, I don't think she's going to like it." So I did, and boy, she made a noise, and she tried to get away, and I wanted to run away because she was trying to get out, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But we rubbed that in the man's life. She made all kinds of racket. But you know, in about 2 days, I went out to, she said, "Go out and check that cow, see if she's okay." And she was okay. Salt has a purifying ability. Now, folks, we ought to live pure and righteous lives. Christians should have a cleansing effect on the world around them. People ought to behave differently when a child of God walks up. We shouldn't be offended when people stop talking about us when we walk up. Well, thank God. There's a need today for young people. There's a need for salty teenagers. I mean, to take a stand wherever you're at in your school with your friends and just do what's right, stand for what's right, and say no. Someone offers you something that you shouldn't be taking. As God's people, we are not to conform to the world. I read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians 5, 17. So not only because of our purifying ability, but number 4, Christ calls us salt because of our pleasing ability. Our pleasing ability. You see, what salt does, I love salt, I like to eat it. Why? It brings the best out of foods that you eat. It does. It blends and flavors food. You know, some foods are not, they shouldn't be eaten without salt, or they're not very good. That's exactly, all right, I got a scripture on them. Job 6:6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Brother, don't give me white of an egg without salt. Period. Don't give me an egg without salt. But that's scripture. I mean, now I realize that you can overdo it. I realize. But salt has a pleasing ability. There's some things that you really don't want to eat without salt. And that's the way the Christian ought to be that way in the world. We should live our lives that we would bring out the best in people around us. I like to be around people that are excited about the Lord. Man, I really do. But deliver me from folks. There's a cloud follows them everywhere they go. Well, how you doing? Well, you don't want to know. Well, I probably don't. I used to stand at the door and shake hands years ago at the church, and there were certain people I never asked. Well, how you doing today? You know why? For about an hour, they'd tell me. But I always enjoyed those little old ladies that come in, and I knew their life was tough, and I knew they had arthritis, and I knew that. And I say, how you doing today, Ms. Welch? Oh, doing great. The Lord's good. Man, that got me stirred up. I didn't have any problems when I got through talking to Ms. Wells. I mean, she didn't tell about her problem, but she loved God. She's a salty Christian. Our pleasing ability. Philippians 1:27, the Bible says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Salt. Jesus calls the Christians salt because of their pleasing ability. I like to be around Christians that love the Lord. I like to be around Brother Vineyard because I know Brother Vineyard. I like to be around anybody that loves God. Now, Brother Vineyard likes to have fun, normally at my expense, but I think that's the reason God put me on earth, is to be a blessing to Brother Vineyard. But I love his zip. You know, he's not feeling very good now. He's got some health problems. But in his heart, he's excited every day about serving God. I like that. I've tried to live my life purposely being around people who love God. Young people, you ought to live your life live your life around people who love God and want to serve God, because it'll help you. It helped me. Number 5, Jesus called us salt, I believe, because, now listen to this, of our poisoning ability. What are you talking about? Salt kills some things. For one, it kills lawns. Grass, I found that out the hard way. When I grew up eating homemade ice cream that we used to make ourselves. I was a cranker. My brother sat on it. We put ice in an ice cream. How many of you know an old ice? Oh, I tell you what. Homemade ice cream will make your tongue slap your brains out. It's so good. And we would crank and make ice cream. We'd invite the preacher over. My dad was a deacon for years. We'd invite the preacher over. And we'd make a big batch of ice cream, vanilla ice cream. And my brother and I would crank it. Of course, to make it really hard, you put a lot of ice and a lot of salt, rock salt, on it. And you crank it. And you crank it till you can't crank it anymore. Now, most of those old motor-driven ones, they don't get it hard enough, Brother Osborne. I like it hard. I like where you got to, you know, you break a spoon sticking it in. But we'd eat ice cream. I never forget one time my mother tricked my dad. She had some cold mashed potatoes in the refrigerator. And dad and the preacher was out. My mother and the preacher's wife always pulling jokes on my dad and the preacher. And so, Brother Holloway, so they give them both bowls of cold potatoes. It looked like ice cream. They were talking, you know, about the church and everything, just excited. Both of them, they wouldn't even pay any attention, just took it out. Oh, you talk about a look of disappointment. Cold mashed potatoes instead of ice cream? Terrible. Well, Dad said, go. He said, I want you to throw that salt water out. Now, he didn't tell me to not throw it in the yard. So I went out back and poured it in the yard, poured the salt water in the yard. You know, about another day or two, it killed all the grass that it was on. Salt poisons kill something. You ever put, you young people, you guys ever put salt on slugs or snails? Well, they swivel up to nothing. True Christianity, sowed in the lives and the homes and the communities of the world, will put some things to death. Christianity is pure poison to sin. When Christ comes into the life of an individual, a person drinking, cussing, fighting, killing, drugging, loose living, etc., are all put to death in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, there's some things that you, as a salty Christian, ought to put to death in your life. These things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, folks, let me say this. The devil's crowd is going to stand up for their cause. We better stand up for our cause today. I see this in Oklahoma City. The homosexual crowd has tried to get into our government, our city government, for years and years, and they just keep coming. And so the city council, and they'll call Brother Vineyard and say, Preacher, we need you down here. The homosexuals are trying to take a vote. We need the Christian element down here. And so we'll get 300 people and go down to city council and go in there and take up all the seats, and other people have stand outside, and get some kind of a bill or some kind of thing defeated that they're trying to pass. Now, you mark it down. The world's crowd will never quit doing their thing. The homosexuals will never quit trying to get their agenda passed. The liberals will never quit trying to get their people into office. The modernists will never quit. God's people should never quit. Never quit. We always got to be the salt. And we got to raise up young people who are salt of the earth also. If we don't, we're in big trouble. Why did Jesus call us salt? Because not only our poisoning ability, but our promoting ability. Our promoting ability. Salt creates a thirst for water in those who are exposed to it. Salt creates a thirst. You ever been around people? Maybe some of your testimonies here tonight is, I got saved. And because somebody influenced my life at work for good, I saw their life, I wanted what they had, I wanted to be like them. What happened? They created salt in your life. They created a thirst in your life. Back years ago, there's a preacher by the name of Brother Eddie Flowers. He's my father in the ministry. I'd been around preachers most all of my life. But I didn't see a real preacher, what I thought, a man of God, until I saw Brother Flowers. And his life created a thirst for me in my life for the ministry. And that's the reason I surrendered to preach. I thank God for Brother Flowers. Well, our life ought to create a thirst in other people's life. If they don't see something different in your life, they're not going to want to get saved. Promoting. When we take the call of Christ seriously, then we're going to live right, we'll act right, we'll talk right, we'll walk right, and we'll dress right. Then we have the ability to create thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. The sad truth today is that a lot of Christians don't promote a thirst for Christ, but rather a ridicule of Christ. You know, some folks say, look at Christians, they say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want any part of it. But you know, there's people out there all the time, folks, you young people, you all of us, that are watching our lives, whether you realize it or not. And I believe with all my soul, there's a lot of people that want what we have. You know, there's a lot of people in Oklahoma City that do not like Brother Vineyard, but they respect him. They don't like our church because we're too, quote, gung-ho. We're too conservative. But, brother, you let something critical happen in our town, and guess who's the first people there? The newsmen want to know what we think about it. Or other people. We've done a lot of things, a lot of controversial things, and people don't like us, but it's okay. We're being the salt in our town that God wants us to be. And people don't like us, but I'll tell you this, they respect us. And they really, I believe, would like to have what God's people have. And we've had a lot of folks saved down through the years because of our stand on certain things. And so we ought to have, we're salt because of our promoting ability. And let me give you one more. Jesus called us salt, I believe, because of our proven ability. Salt changes nearly everything it touches. You know, as a Christian, God wants us to be thermostats. He didn't want us to be a thermometer. Bless God, we ought to set the temperature. We shouldn't be temperature measures. We ought to set the temperature, the atmosphere. We are to be instruments that God can use to implement change in this world. Any place in the world where Christianity is taking place, you study history, a definite change has taken place in the lives of those who trusted Christ. Why? Because of its proven ability. You go to Africa where missionaries are. People start burning their gods and their fetishes. Start putting on clothes anywhere in the world. They start looking and acting like Christians. Go where Brother Oswardi is. Go where Tom Vineyard is. Go to the Philippines where Paul is. And I have been over there. I've been to these places. And it's amazing what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does. God wants us to be the salt. Just study the gospel. For example, Jesus was salt to the maniac of Gadara. What happened to him? I like to preach about him. He's one of my favorite characters. Someone has called the maniac of Gadara the nude dude in a rude mood. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35 tells about the maniac of Gadara. And he run around naked. But he met a salty Christian and got saved and put on clothes and was in his right mind, and he talked right and he walked right and he looked right. Why? Because one salty Christian. Just one. Oh, you say it was Jesus. Well, Jesus is gone physically, but he left his Holy Spirit here with us. Now we're to take his place. He said, I want to go with you, Jesus. Jesus said, no, son, you can't go. You got to go back and tell your friends. And that's exactly what he did. He was the salt. He became the salt in his community. Study the life of Zacchaeus. Jesus came to Zacchaeus. One day, Zacchaeus was up a tree like a lot of people are. Devil's got him bayed, treed. The wicked little tax collector, little Jew. Nobody liked him. Why? Well, number one, he's a tax collector. He worked for the IRS. Someone said, there's two things that's sure in this world, death and taxes, and I'm not sure about death. But Zacchaeus met Jesus and got saved, and his life was changed. You study the life of Stephen. Old Stephen was the salt that Paul needed. Paul was holding the coats of the men who were stoning Stephen. But Stephen didn't act like most men act when he was dying. Why? He was a salty Christian. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. The Bible says Jesus was did a standing ovation for Stephen. Why? He was a salty Christian. I believe with all my soul, every night when Paul prayed, he never forgot the vision or the scene that day when Stephen was dying, because he died like a Christian. And Paul, I believe that's what drove him on and on for the Lord Jesus Christ, because of Stephen's testimony. You know, the Bible says we're the salt of the earth. One day, ex-President Wilson, years ago, went into a barber shop and he was going to get his hair cut. He sat down in the chair, and next to him was a man that he did not know. But this man was talking to the barber and he was listening to the conversation. And this man was telling the barber how Jesus Christ would save you from hell and how that he will change your life like he said he changed mine. The man was talking about his own personal testimony to the barber. And President Wilson said, I just sat there and listened. He said, the man got up and paid the barber and left. And he said he had such an effect on my life on what he said. He said, I asked the barber, I said, who is that man? He says, he's D.L. Moody. He said, the words that D.L. Moody spoke to the barber, I've always remembered my whole life, rest of my life. Why? D.L. Moody was a salty Christian. Let me ask you tonight a question. Are you being the salt of the earth that Jesus Christ intended for you to be? Or you say, well, I used to be. No, I'm talking about right now. Now, folks, this church needs salty Christians. Your pastor is a salty Christian. The staff are salty, and God needs more salty Christians. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. And whether you realize it tonight or not, he paid us a compliment when he said, we're the salt of the earth. He could have said a lot of other things, but I'm going to tell you this. I believe with all my soul, having a compliment of being called the salt of the earth is a tremendous compliment. This world needs us. The Lord Jesus Christ needs us in the ministry here. He needs us to be gospel witness throughout the whole world. Are you the salt? Teenager, let me ask you a question. Are you the salt that you'll be? Let me read this verse one more time. You are the salt of the earth. Notice this. But if the salt has lost its savor, what's that? Saltiness. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Salt is good. It's great. It's beneficial. It's helpful. It has worth until it loses its savor. Have you ever tasted salt that's lost its savor? I have. By the way, in those days, salt, they would dig the salt up out of mines. But if it come in contact with earth or dirt, it would lose its saltiness. You know, a Christian who's salty, if they start running with the world around them, they're going to lose their saltiness. You can't put one foot in the world and one foot in the church and expect to be a salty Christian. Young people, God needs salty teenagers that will stand up for what's right. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. And maybe tonight, there's someone here who said, Brother Finn, you know, I used to be a pretty salty Christian, but I'm not like I used to be. Well, you need to get where you used to be. You are the salt of the earth. But if you lost your savior, what does it say? We're not good for anything. It doesn't say we lost our salvation. You know, I don't want to have... I run from God for about 10 years of my life after I got saved when I was 15. I want to be a rancher. God wanted me to be a preacher. I didn't want to do that, and I'm ashamed of that. I'm sorry that that had to happen. But ever since I got things squared away with God, the rest of my life, I've wanted to be the salt of the earth. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be somebody that's lost his testimony or has lost his savor. You know what they used to do with salt is lost? They put it on the road. They'd put it in their outdoor toilets. It's good for nothing. But God wants to be the salt of the earth. How about you tonight? Think about what I've said tonight. If you're not the salt that you ought to be, you ought to come down here tonight and make a vow to God, I'm going to do better in my life. I'm going to get right what I need to get right tonight. Maybe you're not reading it. You can't be the salt of the earth if you don't read your Bible and pray every day. It's impossible. If you live in your own strength, it's just a matter of time when the devil's going to knock you flat. But we've got to walk in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference if a preacher, a missionary, a layman, whoever. We all have the opportunity to have the power of God in our life. And we ought to live that way. You can't be the salt at work, men, unless you walk with God in the morning. Young people, you can't be the salt that you ought to be unless you read your Bible and pray every day and get a hold of God every day. I've got to have God's grace in my life every day, Brother Osforty. I pray for grace. I got to have grace, more grace. Why? So I can live for God acceptably. You are the salt of the earth. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. I want to ask you a question or two. First question is this. Are you saved? Do you know today, if you were to die, that you know for sure 100% that you go to heaven? Say, Brother Penn, I'm not for sure tonight about my salvation. I've got some doubts. I'm not for sure if I die today I'll go to heaven, but I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? Anyone like that at all? Brother Ben, pray for me. Anyone at all? Man, woman, boy, girl? Second question is this. Christian, I ask you again tonight. Search your heart. Are you the salt of the earth that Jesus meant for you to be? Or is there something amiss in your life tonight that you need to take care of and get back where you ought to be? And Brother Finn, maybe there's someone here tonight. Brother Finn, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that tonight? God bless you. I see those hands here. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. We count it an honor and privilege to be able to speak in this church. Now, Lord, we've given what you've given us. We pray that you bless the invitation tonight, the short invitation. We won't take long, but we ask you to meet every need tonight. We'll thank you and praise you, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand, please? And whatever God, we're not going to take long tonight, but whatever God has been speaking to you about, won't you come as a pianist begins to play? Ye are the salt of the earth. Are you being the salt God wants you to be? Or have you lost your savor tonight? Nobody pays much attention to you as a Christian because you lost your testimony. Well, you ought to come and get it back tonight. You ought to come and get things right with the Lord. You are the salt of the earth. Won't you come? Won't you come? Salty Christians in our country, in this state, in this town, in our world. It seems like the devil's crowd is growing by leaps and bounds. Oh, how we need Christians to take a stand. Do what's right. Live right. Be the soul winner. And live a separated life.